It's time once again to in our studies of rightly dividing the word of truth, and we're studying some things about contrasting the word of God, and we're in actually in lesson 11. And last week we talked about lesson 10. Last lesson we talked about the physical and spiritual baptism. This week in the lesson is we're going to talk about the physical and spiritual circumcision of Israel, if embodied in the earth, and you're going to talk about the spiritual circumcision in the body of Christ. That's contrast. So if you're tuning in today and listening today, what you're going to get out of this lesson will be about the circumcision. Okay? And we know what the prophetic program is dealing with, a particular nation, Israel, on earth. And the mystery program is dealing with a particular body of Christ that's going to be seated where? In the heavenly places. Okay? Very, very simple. So if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 17. We're looking at physical and spiritual circumcision. First, we're looking at the physical circumcision. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, starting with verse 9. Genesis 17, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep. Now who would that be ye shall keep after if it's children? Israel. It's for Israel. Between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in his in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and is bought with thy money must needs. I got that underlined. Must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for how long? An everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from the people, and he hath broken my what? Covenant. Why 8 days before we go any further? Why 8 days? On the 8th day, that child had to be circumcised. Go to Leviticus chapter 12. See if we get this right. This is why the 8th day that they had to be done. Okay? Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived seed and born a man-child, then she be unclean. How many days? 7 days, according to the days of the separation of her infirmity, shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So the child, after 7 days of the mother being unclean, that 8th day, guess what? You can get circumcised. 8 is a new beginning in your Bible. If you think about some things. The numbers situation, 8. Okay, go back to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus, 500 years later, after God made this covenant with Abraham and his seed, 500 years later, in Exodus chapter 4, where's Israel at in the first part of Exodus? Egypt, okay? They're in bondage, aren't they? And Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my what? Firstborn. When we get over here talking about Israel being born again, you keep this in mind. Because this is where the firstborn. You must be born again. Okay? Born again. When was it born first? That's the question I always ask people. Right here, right? Okay, look, keep looking. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Okay? 500 years ago, what was Abraham's covenant? Being a covenant with his people? What did they have to do? Circumcised. Okay? Check this out. And it came to pass by the way of the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah, who's Zipporah? Moses' wife. Took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of his son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go, and then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. You know what she just did to her son? You know why? He had an order to kill the firstborn. But if you was circumcised under the Abraham covenant, guess what you was? You was safe. And Zipporah knew that. Zipporah's dad was a priest of Midian, which was Moses' cousins. You know, people talk about how Moses left Egypt, you know, fled to Egypt for 40 years he was gone or something, and went to the desert. He went to his cousin's house. You know, he just didn't go to no strangers. He went there, a priest of Midian, that, where was God at in that mountain, wasn't he? Didn't they talk about God's up there? But anyway, she circumcised her child because she knew the covenant. So she saved her child. Go to Leviticus chapter 12, which we just read. Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. Verse 3 talks about, and in the eighth day of the flesh, his foreskin shall be what? Circumcised. This is a physical circumcision, guys and gals. Y'all know that. Some of you might be putting your head down, oh gosh, I don't want to hear this today, but it's something. You'll talk about baptism, but you won't talk about circumcision. Okay? All right, it's an identification. You know, and many of us carrying around the mark of Abraham with us today. You know, I don't want to get too personal, but it's true. You know, I know some of you are sniggering, but hey, keep looking. Go to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. I know all what they say about hygiene and stuff like that. This is not a medical program today. But it's a Bible program that talk about physical and spiritual circumcision, okay? Joshua chapter 5. Who's Joshua? Okay, he was also what? An Israelite, right? You know, him and Caleb the only one that, when Moses sent them out to that land to spy on them? The other 10 tribes came back and said, oh, there's giants out there. And was it Caleb and Joshua said, we can take them. We can take them. They got blessed by that too, by the way. Joshua chapter 5, starting with verse 2. And at the time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heels of the foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did the circumcision. Okay, you got to have a reason, right? You just don't do it for nothing. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out of were circumcised, but all the people that was born in the wilderness by the way of as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So everybody that came out of Egypt was circumcised, but they died, didn't they? Walking around in the wilderness and all that stuff. Keep reading. Verse 6, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto the fathers that he would give us, and a land that floweth with milk and honey. They didn't get to see the land. Is that what you agree to? Okay. They didn't lose their salvation. They just didn't get to go into land. Keep reading. And their children who had raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were what? Whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of this place is called, what was that? Gilgad, unto this day. Let me ask you something. What do you think Gilgad means? Gilgal. What do you think Gilgal means? No. Keep looking. You just read it. I roll. Yes. A rolling. It's a roll. He's showing this place to be called. He's rolling the things that oppressed them off Israel, of Egypt. I love this Bible. It'll tell you what that means. Keep looking. Luke chapter. But anyway, the circumcision will continue. Okay? They recircumcised the kids that didn't get circumcised, so that's a covenant that God reaffirmed with Abraham, right? And it continues all through the program of God. Do you agree? Go to Luke chapter 2.
It shows the mindset of the parents of those people that were wandering 40 years. They didn't even do it themselves. They knew why they had to be circumcised.
They didn't keep the covenant. Matthew, Mark, Luke. But that's very, very important to continue in what you have learned. Amen. See how easy it would be, even if you was a part of Israelite then, you've done forgot about what you're supposed to be doing. If you was a Bible studier and believe what God was saying, one of those generals or captains of a man of war would say, hey, Joshua, aren't we supposed to be doing this to our children? But they didn't, did they? So think about, as you study the Word of God today in the dispensation of grace of God, what are we doing? Do we get all this head knowledge up here and not let it sink down in your heart where it really needs to be and be able to show some other people? It's hard, isn't it? But yet, we need to show people, don't we? When we're dealing with some things. Keep looking, where did I say go? Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse 21. This is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21 says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angels among him, angels before he was conceived in the what? Womb. And when the days of purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Even the Lord Jesus Christ was circumcised 8 day. He kept the covenants. His mom and dad, okay, they presented him. That's a physical circumcision that the nation Israel had to abide by. It was a covenant. It was a law, according to the law of Moses, and it was a covenant to his people. That's why Peter talks about the gospel of circumcision in Galatians chapter 2, and we may look at that in a little bit. But there's a gospel of the circumcision, the good news to the circumcision people that was Israel. There also was a gospel of the uncircumcision that was committed to Paul. of good news about what God was doing outside of circumcision that we understand today. And we'll find that, we'll read about that here in a little bit, just so keep that in mind. Ezekiel chapter 44. You got the physical down. We're going to look at a few verses, well, at least one verse about the spiritual. Because not only was Israel to be the physical people on earth, okay, they also were supposed to be a spiritual people. That's why God gave them a ministry to be circumcised, kingdom of priests, be baptized, all that stuff. That's to separate them from amongst the people, the nations. Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel 44, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord God, no strangers uncircumcised in the what?
Heart.
Nor uncircumcised in the flesh shall enter in my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. You had to be not only circumcised in the flesh, you had to be circumcised where? Now, how did they just take sharp knives and open you up like they do, break your bones? It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Ezekiel, let's see, Ezekiel 36. And we've done looked at this a little bit, but I want to reaffirm some things in the Word of God. All scriptures are given by inspiration. Okay? And what was so written was aforetime was written for our what?
Learning.
Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Okay? So we can learn from these things what God did for the nation Israel. Okay? Ezekiel 36:23 says, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall sanctify you before their eyes. Now, has this been done yet? Talk to me. That's in ages to come. Okay? And he says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you. Who's that you? Israel. We done went over these verses again. There's nothing wrong with
repetition.
Yes, repetition of your learning. That's how you learn some things. He said, I'll take you out of the countries and will bring you into your own land. God's going to do this. And he says, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Here comes their baptism. You Israel, and it shall be clean, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. Now, is this a physical heart? A new heart, okay, will I also give you Israel. That's who that you is, who he's talking about. And a new spirit will I put upon you, and I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute and keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your what? Look at verse 29. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase and lay no famine upon you. That's a blessing that they're going to get over here. But he's going to give him the what? A new heart. A new circumcised heart. That's where the issue is, isn't it? Think about it. We talk about all the time your spirit, soul, and body. Okay? We're going to look at that in just a second. But this is the real you. Your heart. You know, our heart bleeds for some things when we see things about our kids or see, you know, watch a program and stuff, you know, about certain things that applies to us. But it gets down right here. Your heart is circumcised. And once that stony heart is cut away, God does that. Go to Acts 15. Acts 15. getting back to something here. According to the Council of Jerusalem, Acts 15 verse 1 says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be what? Saved. You can't tell me that circumcision wasn't just a nonchalantly type of thing. They did it to be saved. That's what they thought. Okay? You can think a lot of things right now to be saved, can't you? That you add it to the cross work of Jesus Christ. And there's people today still adding to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you add anything to the cross work of Jesus Christ, the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, what He did, whether circumcision, baptism, physical, spirit, all physical things, church membership, tithing, anything, you know what you're saying? You hear me? Your cross wasn't good enough. You're saying Jesus Christ's blood was not good enough. I believe it, but that's just humanism, human viewpoint adding to that. The physical circumcision, it's same as...
Yes.
Physical circumcision along with physical baptism belongs to a Jewish program that God instituted in the earth. Let's look at a contrast here. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And the contrast of physical and spiritual circumcision, today in the dispensation of grace of God, it's spiritual circumcision that matters. Just like what we saw in lesson 10, spiritual baptism. Okay? This is a spiritual circumcision that everybody's a part of. Colossians chapter 2. Spiritual circumcision in the body of Christ. In the dispensation of grace of God today, there is a circumcision is required. There is a baptism that is required today. There's one baptism. We saw that last week. I can't preach enough of that. Cannot teach people enough of that they'll believe it to a sense, but yet they want to go on and create their own righteousness. And that's what you're doing. Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 10. And ye are what? Complete in Him. Who's that Him? Jesus Christ. Which is the head of all principalities and power. In whom? Who's that whom? Okay, let's hear it. Jesus Christ, isn't it? Okay. Also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made with hands. Is that what it says? Made without hands. Now how is that possible? Did God take sharp knives and stones and sharpen them on rocks? This is a spiritual circumcision. Now, we all agree that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great.
If you put water in verse 12, there, you have to put a knife in verse...
That's exactly right. And he says, in circumcision made without hands, who's doing that?
God.
God's doing it. Okay? And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism. We saw this last week. Buried with who? Who's Him? Christ Jesus. Wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. Now who's doing the operation here? Okay? It's all spiritual. But you want to spiritualize with spiritual eyes and tell spiritual lies about you're going to put a knife in that and you're going to put a water in that. And we shouldn't do that. We should believe the words on the page and just go with it. Who knows better, God or you and I? That's been a problem ever since day one in the garden. You had God's Word, okay? Then you had Satan's Word, and then he brought one more involved, human viewpoint. And that's popped up two against one. And you as a human, you always look over here. Well, there's more numbers over here than it is over here. When Moses threw the staff down, how many snakes came out of that staff? One, right? How about the magicians? See? Don't that always look better? Two against one? What'd that one do? Consumed them. So stand on what God is doing. You have one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one calling, one hope. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, forgiving you of how many trespasses? All trespasses. He's gave it to you up front. Once you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, people, He circumcises you, He baptizes you, you're complete in Him, and in your position, He sees you as perfect in His Son, Christ Jesus. Only in Paul's epistles for the body of Christ today do you find that type of terminology, that it's all what Christ has done. Back over here, God done a lot of things, we know that. But they had to be sanctified and circumcised and all that set apart to be different. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, what does it deal with? Dead to what? Dead to sin. Okay? You're dead to sin. Chapter 7, you're dead to the law. Chapter 8, you're dead to flesh. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that were dead to sin live any longer therein? You're dead to it. But I'll tell you what. This human viewpoint that I carry on the half side of my brain, you know, tells me different sometimes when I listen to it. You know, you ever notice that? It tells me, hey, you're not dead to sin. Sin is nice. Sin, you can continue in it. But this tells me different. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in a newness of what? Life. How do you get a new life?
Trust Christ God for yourself.
In who? In Christ. For if we have been planted together in His likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. How do you do that? In Christ. And it's all spiritual. The spiritual baptism we saw last lesson, this is a spiritual circumcision, the likeness. He circumcised you and cuts that old dead stuff away. That's why we draw, if you want squares or triangles or circles, spirit, soul, body, okay? Your spirit was separated from God Almighty before you were saved, right? Okay? You heard the gospel, you trusted it, it made a connection with your spirit, now you're one with God. God did all that. But He circumcised that old flesh away from that. He circumcised and baptized you into Him, and now you're one in Christ. And but when I read that and feel that and try to practice that in my life, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. I said it. It's not easy. I tell people all the time, when they trust Christ died for you, buried and rose again, praise God, hallelujah, they trust that, they're saved. Welcome to the battlefield. Then you're going to have to stand for a message of truth. Not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine out there. But when you stand for rightly dividing the word of truth, that is a key to open up to God's understanding of what He is doing in the grace, dispensation of grace. And when you start standing for that message and allow that grace life to work in your life, you're really in a battle. Because I tell you, it's so easy to just put that stuff away and just be whoever you want to. And sit back there, come in. But when you stand for truth, and many of you are, and you're seeing it a different in your life, you're seeing a different, because you know what? When you get as old as I am, a lot of that game playing, it's not fun no more. You know what I'm talking about? It's just not fun no more. You know what? You want to be right. I tell my kids all the time, let your words mean what they say and say what they mean. You know, I'm a word man. You guys know me. I can't pronounce words correctly all the time, but I do want to be, let my words mean what they say. Now, sometimes I've got a bigger bark than a bite, but that's something different. But you got to believe the words of God and stand on that to be truth. Romans chapter 4.
No matter if you sin accidentally or you sin purposely, you're still forgiven.
If you're saved. Yeah. That's why, and that's Romans 5, 6, like if you're dead to it, why do you want to continue in it? You know, that's hard, guys. It's hard just not to continue in it. Because of the daily grime and work that's around you, and your personal life, and then your physical life, and your professional life. It's hard. And when Satan can put down in you and say, who are you, you unworthy little guy, you? Who are you to talk about Jesus Christ? You know, I've been down that road. And it affects you. But you know what? I am who I am in Christ Jesus because the Bible tells me that. And I believe it right here. Keep looking. They're all the same thing. You're dead. And see, and that's why you sanctified. Romans 6, 7, 8 is to talk about sanctification. You set yourself apart from those things. You've heard this, and you either have to believe it or don't believe it. God did not save us to continue in the things that we was doing before we were saved.
Amen. That's why I say Romans 2, 5, 8 is our spiritual guide.
And that's why we said, onslaught, consider what I say, and the things, and the Lord will give you what?
Understand.
And how many things?
All things.
And I wholeheartedly believe that if you can get Romans chapter 5, first to five chapters down about justification, and Romans 6, 7, 8 about sanctification, and dispensation, Romans 9, 10, 11, dealing with the nation Israel, and glorification and application, and 10, 12 through 16, I'm going a little fast. You will not have no problems with a lot of things in your life will go away. And what the Corinthians was doing, the book of reproof, you know, they were saved people there. But when you read the book of Corinthians, do they look like they're saved? They're doing all kinds of stuff. But let's keep moving. Romans, what did I say? Romans 4. If you read Romans chapter 4 down to verse 9, you put faith in uncircumcision here. God through Paul was telling what Abraham and David believed in. And if they believed, well, we know what they believe now through Paul. But look at this, verse 9. Come this blessed upon the... let's go back 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Now, was David under a works program? Some of you saying no, some of you saying yes. Was David, King David, under a work program? Okay, we believe that, don't we? That the law is a works program. Okay? But look. But he just said what? Yeah. The opposite. And he goes, saying, blessed are they whose iniquity are forgiven and whose sins are what? When they believe God, I don't care, listen. This might get me in trouble. But look. Abraham believed God, it was counted for what?
Righteousness.
Was he saved?
Yes.
Does that mean that anybody in all through the dispensation of promise and dispensation of law, if they believed God, did God count it for righteousness?
Amen.
Okay? Okay, why was the laws added?
Just so they would know sin.
Okay? But that saved them when they did the sacrifices and kept the law? Thank you. Thank you. It was to separate them, sanctify them, to be different. Now, I know a lot of brethren say works, faith with works, is all that stuff. That ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Do you do good works? If you do bad works, does it bother your salvation?
Does it bother it?
Does it affect it?
No.
Or your position? Thank you. Keep reading. Blessed, he's saying, blessed. It's not only forgiven, the ones that cover, it's forgiven. That's what David believed. But what was he under?
Hello.
Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Look, verse 9. Cometh this blessedness them upon the circumcision only? Now, who's the circumcision?
Israel.
And upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned then? Or how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Okay? Not in circumcision, but in what?
Uncircumcision.
When I read that, we can call Abraham the father of faith. Father Abraham. You know what I mean?
That is the loophole God put in His own law to give us the hope and the glory.
And not only that, they had the hope and the glory.
Amen.
And if they would just acknowledge that, see what I'm talking about? But I've shared this with people and they're like, oh, my, are you telling me they ignorantly didn't know that? And I'm saying, well, hello.
Yeah.
He winked at their ignorance. But what I'm getting at is if you kept the law for 21 years, went to sacrifices, okay, back in the day, back in times past, you're an Israelite, you're doing, for 21 years you did everything that was required of you under the law. Then you read something in the Bible talking about Abraham. Wait a minute, Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness. That's all I had to do is believe God. I'm not sacrificing no more. And you died. Where would you go? Heaven? Heaven? Well, many people said he would die and go to hell because he didn't keep those laws. And I'm like pulling my hair out. I'm like, my gosh, how can you believe that? And all they had to do is believe God. See, all you have to do is believe God. Faith is taking God at His Word. What He was doing. Okay? We believe God today that through His Son, Jesus Christ, He what? Died, was buried, and rose again. For our justification. Then what do we do? Do we jump in churches and get baptized and all that stuff just because we want to keep commandments and law? Amen. See, you do it, why? To be separated. That's sanctification. That's why we can call you saints of the Most High God. You're separated from everything out there. Anyway, that's faith in the uncircumcision. That's the gospel of the... Okay, or right here. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's close this off a little bit. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This is the kind of contrast to Acts chapter 15, where the guy says, "Without unless you be circumcised, keep the law of Moses, circumcised, you cannot be what? Saved." Galatians chapter 15, Galatians chapter 2, and Acts chapter 15 goes hand in hand. Okay, there's a council in Jerusalem. Go to chapter 2, Galatians 2, starting with verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, which was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, there's two gospels right there. Last week we saw in one verse, how many baptism was in that one verse?
Three.
Water, Holy Spirit, and fire. Here's two gospels, and people, oh no, 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 there's only one gospel. There is only one gospel for the day. The gospel of Christ that saves you. But there's all kinds of gospels means good news. There's good news all through that Bible. But keep reading. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who are they? Okay. Who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto heathen, and they unto the what? Circumcision. Now who's the circumcision again? Okay. Who did Peter, James, and John preach to? Okay. Gentiles or? Israelites. Acts chapter. They came to their own, the little flock. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He had to tell Peter three times. Who was the sheep? Israelites. Peter, James, and John would go to the circumcision, the people that they brought into the kingdom gospel in Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3. 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? Got me? With me? They agreed that Paul would go to who? If you... Okay. Who was the uncircumcision at that point? And who else? Let me hear it. For there's no difference between...
Israel.
If you did not believe that kingdom gospel up to the time of Paul was coming on the scene, okay, you was a heathen. That's why Paul went to the synagogues to show them out of the scriptures who Christ was. You with me? So that tells me something.
There's unsaved Jews.
Exactly. They're heathen. They're reckoned amongst the nation. They had fallen. We done looked at that a little bit. They're fallen. So think about that when Paul goes to the uncircumcision. Israel's even uncircumcision in there.
The key word there has to be diminished because people think you start hearing you cut off.
No.
It's not a threat.
And that's Romans chapter 11. 11 through 25. Okay? And it tells you what God is doing. But look. Paul is going to go to the heathen. Peter, James, and John is going to circumcision. Right? Peter, James, and John is going to teach the kingdom saint what Paul is teaching them. And going to show them that he's not furthering the kingdom program no more. It's postponed. Verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Paul goes around these churches, first week makes up a collection. He said, hey, take your offering up first part of the week because I don't want this done when I'm here. And it's for the poor saints back in Jerusalem. The same saints that told them to sell everything they got, and they would give each man his portion, if you will, that system went broke. System went broke. Look at this. Keep going. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. Now, I don't know too many people would stand up against Peter, would you? Paul did. He says, for before a certain came to, from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their disillusion. Okay, look, think about it. Barnabas was with him, right? Then Barnabas get carried away with what's going on with you, unless you keep the law of Moses. Follow me back in Acts 15. Barnabas gets carried away. See how easy it is? You can get carried away from this doctrine, away from it. But verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? See, Paul knew the gospel. Peter knew what was going down by Cornelius. God was through Cornelius, remember the sheet? He was preparing Peter to think about what's going to happen. And when Paul came and talked with them, Peter, boom, I understand that. I understand what Paul is saying. Follow me? God didn't reveal no mystery to Peter, but He's letting him know things are changing. And when Paul brought this message of the gospel of uncircumcision to Peter, James, and John, Peter knew what was going on. Keep reading. Who are the Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of what? Who preaches that? Paul's message preaches that. Even as we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Man, Paul had it clear. But did Peter, James, and John have it? They're going on and continue to be justified in the works of the law. But if, while we seek to justify by Christ, we ourselves are also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto who? That's Romans chapter 7. I'm dead to the law. If I'm dead to the law, who am I going to live to? For Christ. For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How many times have you seen the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ, the faith of the Son of God, that of? You'll see it seven times in your Bibles in Paul's epistles. And it's a very, very important word. It's not in, it's of.
Yeah, changed in the
NIV. Yes, change. And gave Himself for me. Verse 21. And we're closing on this. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in what? If righteousness come by the what? Then Christ is dead. That goes right along with Acts chapter 15. And they had a council in Jerusalem. And Paul standing up there amongst them, who seemed to be pillars of the church, big people, right? And telling them, you knew better. This is what God's doing. And I believe wholeheartedly from that point on, Peter, James, and John did not further the kingdom gospel any further. But the new gospel that had been going out 14 years before that, that starts up, was going out what Paul's message was. But they took that and they started feeding the flock, explaining what Paul was doing. That's why we're in 2 Peter. You know, Peter talks very clear, you know, things that Paul wrote amongst you are hard to understand. Absolutely. But the thing is, when Paul writes Romans 9, 10, and 11, that explains to an Israelite that's saved under the kingdom program what God is doing, and they can just, He hasn't forgot about me. I am going to be something over here in ages to come. What was promised? Till next week.